Romans chapter 1, we're going to be looking at some things here. We got, I think, down through verse number 18, and tonight we're going to pick up in verse number 19 in Romans chapter number 1. It's a wonderful book, the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul was a wonderful individual. God used him in a mighty way. He carried a burden. God called him to be a missionary or a preacher to the Gentiles. And yet at the same time, he makes that statement, I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. I think one of the most precious descriptions that he gives is over in Romans 10, chapter 1, Brother Steve, going again to his people. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Who are you praying for tonight? Who are you desiring to be saved? You have a heart's desire that they be saved. He said, for I'm going on the record. I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Christ. I tell you tonight, underneath steeples all across the land, there are people that are going about to establish their own righteousness. Everything that's called a church is not pointing people to Calvary. But thank God we know the truth. We know that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But thank God for the day when we put our faith, our hope, our trust in Christ, turn from our sin. He takes our mess away, and he gives us his righteousness. My grandpa, he loved to trade. I got a lot of my grandpa in me. I tell you how I like to trade. I like to come out when I trade. Say amen, Brother John. Your mind ought to be all going all the way back to that miter saw right now. Amen. I like to trade, but I like to come out when I trade. I learned a few things along the way. But I'll tell you, the best trade I ever made in my life when I traded my sin for his righteousness. When I, like Brother Mitchell said, took sides with God against myself. Boy, it blessed me. Josh standing up here Sunday. Amen. Tears running down his cheek. Our Lord Jesus will change your life. Amen. He'll change your life. He'll give you something better than religion. He'll give you a relationship with the Son of God. Amen. Well, let's pick up tonight in Romans chapter number 1. I'm glad to be here. I'm excited about the things of God in these days. Yeah, sometimes I let my chin get on the ground. You know, sometimes I'd just like one more time to see all of God's people at one time. Amen. But we just have to do the best we can, as long as we can, and trust the Lord with the rest of it. Amen. The Word of God said in verse number 19, I'm going back up and read verse number 18. We've already talked about it, but it kind of sets the stage for verse number 19 and following. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. That almost sounds like an oxymoron, don't it? I'm telling you, he's saying there's invisible things that you can clearly see. You say, well, preacher, how do you do that? By faith. Amen. We're going to learn tonight. Listen, that God didn't put the sun up there so we'd worship the sun. God put the sun up there so we'd look up there and say, who did that? Has somebody bigger than me that did that? Hung all them stars in place and the moon and made the earth and the galaxies beyond. The Word of God said here, the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without, what's that word? Without excuse. I'm going to tell you something. You can call it this organization. You can call it that organization. You can call it whatever you want to. But there's no excuse for what's going on in our country right now. There's no excuse. I'm telling you, beloved. The Bible said because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. He said, preacher, I wouldn't say somebody had a foolish heart. I wouldn't call somebody a fool. Well, the Word of God did. The Word of God said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I'm telling you, beloved, this world is full of fools. People that think they're their own God and they're only going to answer to themselves. Secular humanism. It started a long time ago. And we're seeing the fruits of it today. Beloved, listen, they think they don't have to answer to a judge, a police officer, authority, or the God of heaven. But they're going to one day after a while. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. And every tongue is going to admit that Jesus is the Christ. The Bible said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say it. You don't have to agree with me, but I watched a bunch of fools yesterday until I got tired of watching it, and I couldn't watch it no more. I had to turn it off. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled. I'm talking about filled. That's what the Word of God said. It's no longer a half and half thing or dabbling, but they're full. Filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. I want you to look at this. The young people, we've got several here tonight. Disobedient to parents. I wouldn't want to be nowhere in that list, would you? But yet we can see some of this is treated like it's terrible, and some of it's treated like, well, that's not too bad. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter if it's your life or my life. When pride began to rear its ugly head, you better let the Holy Ghost beat that down and get it back where it needs to be. Put that thing back, amen? The only thing you and I need to be proud of is the grace of God and our Lord and Savior and Calvary and an empty tomb and a Bible that's trustworthy. We need to be proud of that. The Word of God. Boasters. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, look at that statement. They know it. They know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same. Let me tell you something right now. While we're here tonight, I guess in Portland, Oregon, they're about, is it 3 hours time difference, Bo Steve? You've got Central Mountain and Pacific. So out yonder, it's, let's see, go back, it's 20 to late, 27, 26, about 20 to 5. So in about 5 hours out there, if they do what they've been doing for the last 2 months, what the Word of God is teaching here, they're not only doing it, but they're having pleasure in doing it. They interviewed a couple of them. They said, well, it'd been fine if one of them cops would have got killed. Pleasure in unrighteousness. Watch this. They not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know what I wish I could do tonight? I wish I could take them over there and tell them what Moses, what the Word of God said in chapter number 11 of the book of Hebrews about Moses. He was one that was wanted to do right, and he didn't want to be called the son of Pharaoh. He would rather endure affliction than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. That fellow that stood, Brother Steve, and wouldn't bow, he had to know when he was standing there alone. He had to know somewhere down the road it'll cost him. It probably won't be far down the road. I thank God for one that hung alone on Calvary, don't you? You and I ought to be willing to stand alone. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. As we go through these verses tonight, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll just illuminate our hearts and our minds. God, that the Spirit of God would fill us. Help us to say what you want said and leave off anything, Lord, that would be displeasing in thy sight. Lord, I thank you that Michael come to visit with us tonight. Pray, God, you'd keep him safe on the road. I pray, Lord, that you'd help Brother Napper and all of our missionaries in these days. God, it's an unusual time. Lord, I don't know how long it'll be before they can get back in the prisons. I ask you, Lord, to work. Lord, I pray you'd meet the prayer requests that were made here in the service tonight. Encourage our dear people. Keep them safe, our Father. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want us to look at a couple of things tonight in these verses. The first thing I want to look at is the blindness of the heathen. And then I want to look at the not only the blindness of the heathen, but the beliefs or the belief system of the heathen. And then I want to look at the behavior of the heathen. You say, Pastor, why would you look at that? I don't know if there's a place in the whole Bible that paints a picture of mankind any better without Christ. You see, in this chapter right here, when it's talking about unrighteousness, when it's talking about the heathen, you might say, well, Pastor, there's a fellow over there. He's a pretty good fellow. Well, saying that doesn't line up with Scripture. The Word of God said there's none good, no, not one. And I believe one of the things God wants us to pick up on in this chapter, yes, you have the sin of sodomy going on in this chapter. It's one of the probably the most popular chapters in the Word of God when it comes to that subject. But you also have pride in the same chapter. You can have a fellow over here on the hill that's never drunk a beer in his life, never touched a drop of liquor, never done any drugs, been a faithful husband, a faithful father, faithful on the job, but without Christ. All this crowd is lumped together. I thank God. Listen to me tonight. You may not like this, but I like it. With Christ, there's a church that's lumped together. God don't see us as somebody special in our cell. He sees us as somebody special in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're somebody going somewhere. We got a job to do till we get there. Let's do it to the best of our ability for the glory of God. We see here the blindness of the heathen. I looked up the definition of heathen. It said a pagan, a Gentile, one who worships idols or is unacquainted with the true God. Or in the scriptures, the word seems to comprehend all nations except the Jews or the Israelites, as they were all strangers to the true religion and all addicted to idolatry. Now you say, preacher, we don't have a problem with idolatry in America. No, I agree with you that the way you're thinking about idolatry. Nobody's got them a little wooden box with a little wooden god and gets out and bows down to it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a whole lot of people that's got idols. You say, preacher, what is an idol? It's something that means more to you than your Creator. Something that means more to you than your Savior. Something that means more to you than doing what God would have you to do, have me to do as a child of God. The blindness of the heathen. As I go through these verses tonight, every one of us ought to worship God tonight and thank God. Brother Gary, there was a day I was blind. Thank God there was a day when God come along. The Holy Ghost come along. And I cooperated. Listen, you say, I don't believe in irresistible grace. But God gave me an opportunity and I cooperated with Him. I said, God, you're right and I'm wrong. And the Lord pulled them blinders off and let me see who I was. But more important than that, let me see who He was. And beloved, the heathen are blind. And you and I could still be blind tonight. Living right in the Bible Belt in America, you and I could still be as blind as many are living right in the Bible Belt in America. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. When God says we're without excuse, that's the truth. No man is going to stand before... I've had people tell me, when I stand before God, I'm going to tell Him this, or I'm going to ask Him this. No, 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 no. When we stand before God, we're going to realize, beloved, it's not time. The Christian will be bowing. The Christian will be worshiping. I personally believe that the Christian will be weeping. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said God will wipe all tears away. That's later. That's after the great white throne judgment when we've watched our neighbors and our loved ones that refuse to trust Christ cast off into the lake of fire. God is going to have to wipe that memory and wipe our tears away. But I tell you what we're going to know on that day. We're going to know. Listen to me carefully right here. We're going to know that God did right. The Word of God said over in the book of Genesis, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And we're even going to know on that day, God, you did right. It wasn't your fault. It was their fault. But it's going to hurt. And God's going to wipe away the tears. But I believe when we see Him for the first time, see those hands, hear that voice, I believe we'll be like John. We'll fall at His feet like a dead man. I don't know about you tonight, but I am looking forward to that. I know this tonight. There's a longing in my heart to see my earthly daddy, and I'll see him again. I got that picture, Sister Jean, at the house that you took, honey, of me and Daddy standing here. Sister Jean did that because she wanted to have a picture of two of the best-looking men in Bloomingdale. Amen. But anyway, I got that picture. I'll see my daddy again. But I tell you what, before I see my earthly daddy, I want to see my heavenly daddy. Amen. And my dad wouldn't have it any other way either. The Word of God's talking about here, God has made himself known. He showed them some things. In 2 Peter 3, the Word of God said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, watch this now, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now that's what I'm familiar with that. But here's the verse that God put on my heart this afternoon. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Willingly. Since the creation, there are some men that have just willingly turned away from the truth of God's creation. I may be getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I read something today that blessed my heart. It blessed my heart. It talked about the creation and how the creation will point us to the hands, to the work of God's hands. And personally tonight, listen to me, the reason I believe that folks are without excuse, I believe this, I believe the Bible teaches this. When an individual acts on the light that God gives him, Josh and I stood here and talked Sunday. And I told Josh, I said, Josh, I believe the Bible, the facts all of my life. And God knew that. I didn't spit in God's face or spit on God's Word. I believe the Word of God was the Bible, and it was the Word of God. It was inspired. It was true. I believe that Jesus came, was born of a virgin. I believe the facts. That didn't make me saved. But I'm telling you, I acted on the light that God had given me. You know what God did? He gave me more light. You say, preacher, how do you get that in the Scripture? Here's how I get it. Cornelius. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, God don't hear a lost man pray? Now, wait a minute. Oh, you say, preacher, the Word of God, the Bible says, and we know that God heareth not sinners. The Bible does say that, but somebody want to tell me who said it? Somebody tell me who said it. It was the Pharisees that was accusing Jesus of being a sinner. And so they'll quote the Bible, and the Bible said, we know that God heareth not sinners. Beloved, listen, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going to go into the examples tonight, but I know better. I'm talking about times before I was ever saved. God knew I was a seeker. You say, preacher, where you get that in the Bible, Cornelius? You remember when God called Peter and told him to go down to the house of Cornelius? Cornelius was that Gentile. God was going to say, listen, the Jews had rejected God the Father. They had rejected God the Son. You come to the book of Acts and they rejected God the Holy Ghost nationally. There was no more God to reject. So God turned from the Gentile, or from the Jew, and turned to the Gentile. Peter didn't want to go down there, Brother Ralph. He said, no, they're coming. They're unclean. God let Peter have that vision. That sheet coming down. He said, don't you call anything I've made common or unclean. He sent him down to the house of Cornelius. And what did he tell Cornelius? He said, your prayers and your alms have come up to God for a memorial. Is that in the Word of God? Cornelius was serious, Brother Rose. He was doing everything that he knew to do. And God said, I'm going to send him somebody. Oh, hallelujah, Brother Grizzle. Over there in those heathen lands that have not made a god out of the sun, or a god out of the cow, or a god out of the cockroach, but they're doing everything they need to do and know to do. I believe God will send them more light. Send them the gospel light. The creation. I've never heard this before, but I read it today, and boy, did it bless my heart. The creation shows us the work of God's hands. But Brother Steve, it's Calvary that shows us the work of God's heart. Hallelujah! When somebody's doing what they ought to be doing with the creation of God's hands, I believe God is going to send somebody that the work of His heart might be revealed. Not just the work of His hands, the blindness of the heathen. The Word of God said, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the Word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water." It goes right back to the creation, and they willingly were ignorant. Later, Brother Steve, the Word of God is going to say they're going to worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Willingly are ignorant of. You remember when Jesus, He stood there and He looked out over Jerusalem. And He was weeping. But like He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you together." Let me tell you something. Jesus is still in the gathering together business. That's His heart. He's not in the business. You can read in the Old Testament, "Woe unto the pastors that scatter the flock." He's not in the scattering business. He's in the gathering business. "How oft would I have gathered you together as a chick does her brood?" And then He said this, "And you would not." And you would not. Beloved, let me tell you something. Now listen, I'm not going to be ugly about this, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a doctrine floating around. It's all over the world now. And they'll say they could not. There's a difference in could not and would not. The Word of God said it wasn't His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Word of God said over there in the book of Timothy, "Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." They're all without excuse. That's what the Word of God said. Every one of them are without excuse. You say, "Preacher, I don't think that's important." I do, especially when it's creeping into Baptist churches. God help us. God help us. When there's an argument going on among Baptists whether repentance is necessary for salvation or not. There's no argument going on in heaven. I can tell you that right now. Jesus said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." People that think they can pop their chewing gum, sign a card, and get something sprinkled on their head or get dunked in a water hole, go on living like hell, cussing like hell, smelling like hell. That's not what the Bible calls salvation. Bible salvation will change your life. Bible salvation will take the blinders off. Bible salvation, you're talking about Brother Calder, give you a burden for somebody else. Amen. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Turn with me to Psalm 19 tonight, would you please? It's almost 8 o'clock. We're supposed to have a business meeting tonight too, ain't we? Amen. Thank you, Brother Gary, for reminding me of that. You said, "Did Brother Gary remind you?" Yeah, Brother Gary reminded me. I looked up there and saw Brother Gary, and I thought, business, Brother Gary, business. Amen. Hey, what did I say, Psalm 19? I believe that's right. Don't you listen to this. The Word of God said, "The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Now declare, you know that's saying something, isn't it? The Bible said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." The Bible said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth." I didn't even realize this lined up with what I read, His handiwork. The creation shows the work of His hands. You want to see the work of His heart? Look at Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But watch this, verse 2. You say, preacher, do you really believe the creation can speak? Well, I believe the Bible. The Bible said, day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, watch this now, nor language where their voice is not heard. What's that mean? That means if you live in the Bible Belt and you look up, you see the same thing as the guy that lives on the backside of the Amazon, the guy that lives in India, the guy that lives in China, the guy that lives in the Philippines. You see the same heaven and the same God put it there. And beloved, the same voice. Have you ever heard a missionary talk in his native tongue? It's a blessing, isn't it? Especially if you know what verse he's saying. You can pick up on it a little bit. I remember up there with Brother Napper in those federal prisons. Brother, they got a large Spanish population. And I preached with an interpreter. A lot of them say interrupter. I can't remember the brother's name. I really can't. I'm trying to remember. I believe it was FCI Loretto. I'm sure it was. But he was a young man, and he was serious about the things of God. And you have to say something, for God so loved, and he would say, for God so loved. The world that he gave his only begotten, he'd say, the world that he gave his only begotten. It's hard for a hillbilly preacher to preach like that. I promise you it is. Brother Ike, I was preaching one night, and he told me before the service got started, he said, Brother Benoit, just take your time. He said, I'll do my best to stay right with you. We got done. Brother Ike, guess what he said? I said, how'd I do, brother? And I called his name. He said, well, Brother Benoit, it's like this. He said, you was out there somewhere in a Holy Ghost Ferrari, and I was trying to catch up in a Volkswagen. That's what he said. I got wind that some of the English-speaking guys were griping. They were complaining. They wanted Brother Benoit to be able to preach without being interpreted or being interrupted, so to speak. I got wind of it. You know what I do when I get wind of something, don't you? So that night, I told that brother, I said, now, brother, we're going to have church tonight. We're having a revival in that facility. And I said, I want you to take 10 or 15 minutes. I said, ain't nobody but me and you going to know what's going on. I said, I want you to mount that pulpit. He was a preacher. I said, I want you to preach. I said, I want you to brag on Jesus. But I said, I want you to do everything you do in the Spanish tongue. Them old boys are sitting there with their jaw down like, what are we supposed to get out of this? I got up behind him, and I told him, I said, man, I heard some of you's been griping. I said, now, do you realize that what you just went through for 15 minutes is what these Spanish men would have to go through every night without an interpreter, without somebody? You say, Pastor, why did you mention that tonight? Because it don't matter what language you speak, God speaks the same language. I believe that's what happened on the day of Pentecost, don't you? It don't matter what language they were, what nation they were from, God had a word. And they were able to hear the word of God in their native tongue. You say, preacher, I don't know, can the stars, do they have a voice, the sun, the moon? According to the word of God, he said, there's no speech, nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which, as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race, his going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his earth and his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I don't believe it's any accident In this text, you hear the voice of creation. But then when you get down to verse number 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. Now you hear the voice of the Creator. But let me give you something tonight. You refuse to hear the voice of the Creator, the voice of creation, you'll never hear the voice of the Creator. I want to read something to you tonight. This will help. Abraham Lincoln once said, "I can see how it might be possible for a man to look down upon the earth and be an atheist. But I cannot conceive how he could look up into the heavens and say, there is no God." I like that, don't you? He said, "I can see how that if someone was up there looking down, they could be an atheist." But he said, "I can't even fathom how anybody could be down here looking up and say, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." One of the French revolutionaries boasted to a peasant. He said, "We are going to pull down." Now listen, boy, you think about how this fits in our country. Oh, you say, "Preacher, they just want to pull down the Confederate statues." Honey, they ain't going to get done with the Confederates. They want to pull down that cross. They want to pull down this gospel. Now listen, one of the French revolutionaries boasted to a peasant. He said, "We're going to pull down all that reminds you of God." Said the peasant dryly, "Citizen, pull down the stars then." Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm done. I'm not done. I'm quitting. But let me tell you something. If ever there was a time that every one of us better hide as much of this book as we can in our heart, we don't know how long it'll be, Brother Grizzle, before they come after it. If ever there was a time we need to be enjoying the fellowship that we have in public, because the day can come when we be in a basement. The day we could come when we're hiding in the woods. You say, "Preacher, you've lost your mind." No. Listen, we're God's people. And God's people, since Calvary, have been through a whole lot worse than what we're going through right now. I do not believe we're going to go through the Great Tribulation, but I believe it's entirely possible that the church, I'm not saying this just because there's an election coming up. I've been saying this for years. We're one leader, one president away from being a persecuted people. I thought we was about to get there the last time around, to tell you the truth. Let me tell you this tonight. You say, "Preacher, you're talking about leaders." An old preacher said this years ago, and I never have forgotten. He said, "Every church is one pastor away from liberalism." That's what he said. One pastor away. You drop the standards. You drop the singing. You drop the Bible. Get you some different standards. Get you a different songbook. Get you a different Bible. The first thing you know, it doesn't even resemble what it used to be as a church. That's happened in Christian schools. My wife will tell you that. I'm going to tell you right now, listen to me carefully. A lot of people make the mistake. They think everybody goes to Christian schools are Christian. No, some of them goes there because the public school wouldn't have them. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. And everything that goes on in an quote unquote Christian school. We had to leave a school when we were in Wise County. They got up in the spring concert, Brother Ike, and imitated Elvis Presley. Honestly. You say, "Did you get mad?" No, I sat there and wept. I couldn't believe it. wanted my children. They were good at ball, Brother Steve. They wanted my children when we moved to Wise. They wanted my children to play ball. I said, that's fine. I said, but not on Wednesday night, not on Sunday, and not if we're having revival. You know, they just blow that off like, well, that's okay, until the first Wednesday night come. Where are you all at? We need him. I told you where we'd be on Wednesday night. In the house of God. You say, preacher, what are you doing? I'm not much, but I can take a stand once in a while on what's right. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight.